This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We're off to Ottawa. Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute joins us to comment on a headline in these last days. Canada says China has a role to play in keeping the Red Sea safe. This is a conversation between Canada's Foreign Minister, Melanie Joly, and China's Foreign Minister / Chief Diplomat of the Chinese Communist Party, Wang Yi, taking place in Munich during the security conference. China and Canada. Charles, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining. This looks like Canada's outreach for a working relationship with China. I get confused. My scorecard is all marked up. Recently, there have been reports, events, that suggest that Ottawa is no longer regarding China as a friendly power, but as a competitive, even hostile power. Has that changed again with this apparent diplomatic outreach by the Foreign Minister of Canada? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think that there is a pretty much the rhetoric and the reality of the Canadian government's relations with China are pretty much at odds. It's interesting that the readout of this meeting from the Chinese Foreign Ministry is very different from the one that the Canadians have issued. And it says that Wang Yi met with the Canadian Foreign Minister, Melanie Joly, at the latter's request, which means, you know, it's a traditional mode of lesser countries coming to pay tribute to the Middle Kingdom. And he made a number of rather nasty threats, suggesting that, you know, that Canada-China relations may deteriorate further if Canada does not, first of all, stop hyping up the China threat theory. In other words, don't increase defense commitments to the Indo-Pacific. Stop spreading false information about so-called Chinese interference in Canadian internal affairs, referring to the ongoing foreign influence commission led by a justice of the Supreme Court trying to figure out how much of Canada's elite is in fact beholden to the interests of the People's Republic of China, and to stop overstretching, as he said, national security in economics and trade and science and technology. In other words, don't prevent any Chinese acquisitions of resources in Canada, including, say, critical mineral mines. And don't do anything about China's pervasive program of espionage in Canada, essentially, or else. And, you know, Ms. Joly, according to the Chinese, talked about climate change, biodiversity, public health, and other fields. And so I think the idea is that if we speak nicely to the Chinese, they'll be reasonable and we'll stop bucking the sanctions against Russia and will cooperate with us in trying to clear out the threat to shipping outside Gaza. And we'll actually follow the international demands with regard to restricting carbon emissions. I frankly have never seen China respond to any Canadian suggestions in the past, but China certainly took advantage of the opportunity to state to Canada, and I think other middle powers, that if you don't toe the line with China, you will suffer economically.
Gordon, this appears to be the wolf warrior is wearing a wolf skin in approach to Canada. Is that something that Wang Yi has returned to? I thought he was making nice for some time.
Wang Yi can't make nice because he works for a guy named Xi Jinping, who absolutely demands that China's diplomats take maximalist positions. And the thing that I was thinking when Charles was just mentioning the difference in readouts is that no matter how nice you are to Beijing, and Canada certainly is, and it's submissive, you just can't have good relations with the Chinese regime. It seems that these days that China will not take a responsible position on anything.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, would you just comment on what I said?
Yes, I quite agree. I think that, you know, a lot of this is really about the Canadian government trying to justify not getting with the program led by the United States to meet the challenge of China's rise and the damage it will do to the international order, and says, oh, well, you know, they may be engaging in genocide against the Uyghurs, and they may be challenging our freedom of navigation exercises, and they may be bucking the sanctions against North Korea, but we can, you know, get, on the other hand, cooperation with them on climate change, biodiversity, and public health, and we've got good dialogue with them in other areas, and we will make progress with them. I mean, this is this is really appeasement at its worst, and the Canadian government is certainly, I think, abiding by Mr. Wong's threat by not allowing the Foreign Interference Commission to function effectively by withholding the documents that they need to know what's really going on. So China wins again. And within the context of, you know, Donald Trump's suggestion that he would impose a 10% tariff on all foreign inputs into the United States to assist to reindustrialize the U.S. and the proposed 60% tariff on China, China is able to play on this and try and get other countries to compromise our commitment to the international global good in the interests of protecting our economies through transferring our trade from the United States to China.
Charles, I'm glad you bring up the ongoing investigation of Chinese interference in your 2019 and 2021 election. There were also allegations that the Trudeau family had benefited or at least looked the other way when there were donations coming from perhaps China, perhaps cutouts. I'm not sure of all the details. Is all that behind us? Has that been left out of the investigation at Parliament, or is it part of the conversation as well that Mr. Trudeau's family might have been compromised?
I think that that's certainly, you know, something that's being looked at, and there has been more revelations about China money going into the Trudeau Foundation. There's no suggestion that the Prime Minister or his family have benefited directly from this, but, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't know. I think, in terms of the overall approach of the Trudeau government to China, it's not changing. You know, there's an Indo-Pacific strategy that Canada has articulated that really has no effective implementation. And Canada has talked about, when our ministers have been in the United States, decoupling and friendshoring, but we're not seeing any evidence of that actually coming to pass. So there does seem to be a kind of virtue signaling to appease the Canadian public while the government continues to mysteriously accommodate China in pretty much every area. I don't think the Chinese embassy has any cause to be upset with Canada at all.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, China and Canada have conflicting interests in the Arctic. Is there any indication that Foreign Minister Jolie actually raised Arctic issues, or was this too contentious so it was left out of the discussion?
There's no mention in either readout of discussing the Arctic. And I think that, you know, the attitude of the Canadian government is, hear no evil, see no evil. And so they, despite the military and security agencies being very concerned about China's increasing collaboration with Russia in the Arctic, our government has not said that they will do anything to try and address this. And, you know, I think that there is an expectation in NATO that Canada should at least defend the Canadian North, if nowhere else. And Canada doesn't seem to be responding to that in any way. We essentially have nothing there. It's an enormous space, of course, and would require massive investment to properly defend it. But that doesn't seem to be in the cards. Most recently, the Canadian budget actually reduced defense spending. And in terms of our 2% to NATO, We're at 1.38 at present, and there's no suggestion that there will be much increase in that anytime soon.
And the prime minister right now, he's been going through a bad patch in general. Has he come out of it? Are the polls showing a stronger presence in Ottawa than before?
Oh, no. His polls are cratering. He's down at 24%, the Socialist New Democratic Party at 22%, and the Conservatives 19% ahead and at over 40. So if there was an election based on these polling figures, it would be the greatest defeat for a Liberal government in Canadian history.
So the Prime Minister then is not in some fashion rallying his forces. It's remained, he's been flatlining for some time.
Yes, and it seems to be deteriorating. I mean, there have been further scandals with regard to procurement of a software against COVID, where it's supposed to have cost $80,000, and the actual bill is apparently up to $50 million. How do you move from $80,000 to $50 million is currently under investigation. But the government is again trying to prevent the parliamentary committees from investigating this by obfuscating and refusing to allow motions to be made to force people to come to Parliament to discuss this kind of scandal. So it's just one thing after another for Mr. Trudeau. And I think the Liberal Party really wonders why he doesn't resign.
Charles Burton, Gordon Chang, I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.